Okay, we got it right that time. With all due respect, brother, I've been doing that for 37 straight years. For those that need the name of this sermon, I just called it Food for Thought. Brothers and sisters, over the years we have heard the many scripture teachings about the witness Israel, how we would be maligned, ridiculed, mistreated, and even falsely accused. And yes, I have been responsible for a lot of those teachings through no greatness of my own, but Father Yahweh decided to pick this bum to tell you. 18 years ago, this pastor, this Passover, I gave the sermon that what the Bible actually says about the witness Israel shows he would not be killed in Jerusalem, but he would continue on doing the work Yahweh called him out to do, that he would not be killed, but that many would call for his death. And that is exactly what has been going on. It's only just 2 or 3 years ago, maybe less. My math is not that great right now. I'm in a rush. But 2 or 3 years ago, it was like this. He was falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit. Even worse, they violated several federal laws in order to get him indicted. One of them was a violation of the double jeopardy law, where they made a felony out of a traffic ticket, a misdemeanor. And when they finally got caught at it, they bailed out and, well, all I know as pastor on the legal books is an innocent man. The reason they wanted to get rid of Israel is because he is the witness. Satan knows it. Satan's followers know it. And we'll have the scripture in a short while. They tremble in two things, fear and rage. They do not appreciate it. Ever since I've known this man, there's always someone wanting to shut him up or silence him. I'll use silence, it's a nicer word. But the point is, ever since this man has assumed the responsibility of the calling Yahweh gave him, there has been someone wanting him to be silenced. And today, I can tell you, he's a lot older than he was when I said he wasn't going to get killed. But I can tell you this also, I'd love to be as healthy as he is. Yahweh has kept him well, healthy, and very much alive. And I have no quarrel with that. Today we're going to see two things. First, we're going to see even more truths to show the depths of evil Satan has gone to in order to stop the witness Israel, and how Yahweh overcame them. Now, some of it is almost funny. You will need to put a bookmarker, if you have one, in the book of Yahweh or even a Bible. I would like for you to please turn to two scriptures and mark them or have something where you can quickly go there, because the majority of this sermon is going to be over these two scriptures. And one of them is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, which is on page 534 of the book of Yahweh. And the other is Micaiah chapter 5, which is on page 706 of the book of Yahweh. Or Isaiah 7, 17, 20, or Micah chapter 5 in a Bible if you're using that. Now we're going to start a study first on Micaiah or Micah chapter 5. So turn to page 706 to start out if you're in your book of Yahweh, or to Micah or Micaiah. Well, it's normally Micah. Very few Bible translations use Micaiah, even though that is the correct way. Starting with verse 1. Now gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops. Now that sounds like a bunch of soldiers having babies. That's kind of weird, huh? For a siege has been held laid against us. With the rod they will strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Yada, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose coming is proclaimed from of old, from ancient times. And as you see on this pulpit, we know that that man they're talking about in the scripture is actually, can be considered two men. One is named Yahshua and one is named Israel. Therefore, he will give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brothers will return to the children of Israel. He will stand as shepherd in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his father, and they will abide. For now will he be great to the ends of the earth. And this one will bring peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and when he treads down our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. And they will devastate the land of Assyria with the sword and the land of Nimrod at its entrances. So he will deliver us from the Assyrian and when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. The remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples like dew from Yahweh, like showers on the grass which wait for no man nor tarries for the sons of men. The remnant of Jacob will be among the Gentiles, the nations, the Goyim, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand will be lifted against your adversaries, and all your enemies will be cut off. Now, it sounds like Yahweh is going to beat them all up, but we'll find out there's a little bit different way it's going. And it will be in that day, says Yahweh, that I will cut off your horses from the midst of you, and I will destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. I will cut off witchcraft from your hand, and you will have no more soothsayers. Your carved images of all your gods, the Elohim, I will cut off from your midst, and your sacred pillars of Baal, the Lord, you will no longer worship, the work of your hands. I will pull up your Asherim, the sacred pole symbolizing the goddess Asherah, from the midst of you, and I will destroy your cities. To somebody that reads a regular Bible, you would think Yahweh's having a temper tantrum. I will execute vengeance in anger and fury on the heathen that have not heard, obeyed. Oh yeah, he's going to get them back, isn't he? Okay, the phrase gather yourself in troops and the word troops in the phrase daughter of troops that are written in Micaiah 5:1 are translated from the Hebrew words tata gadati or gadad. That's taka gadati or gadad. These two words are listed on page 263 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows these two words are a form of the Hebrew word gadad and mean to cut off. The word daughter that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 1 is translated from the Hebrew word bat. That's bet tov. This word is listed on page 247 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word is a form of the Hebrew word bayit and means house or house of Yahweh. The word yada that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 2 is translated from the word yada. This word is listed on pages 540, 548, and 549 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, which shows this word means to acknowledge Yahweh, to praise Yahweh, to confess Yahweh. The words he will give them up that are written in Micaiah 5 verse 3 are translated from the Hebrew word yataniu. This word is listed on page 625 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to endure. The word until that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 3 is translated from the Hebrew word od. This word is listed on page 1013 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word is a word that designates time and means within the scope of time to reach as far as. The word children that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 3 is translated from the Hebrew compound word banya. This word is composed of the Hebrew word ban and the Hebrew word ya. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 205, 215, 217, and 411, and 413 shows that this word bind means to build a house, to rebuild a house, and also of all things able. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius Furst by page 546 shows this word, Hebrew word Yah, is a syllabic form of the name Yahweh. The words Assyria and Assyrian that are written in Micaiah 5 verses 5 and 6 are translated from the Hebrew word Ashur, or its form Asher. This word is listed on page 303 and 304 in PDF format of volume 1 of the Lingua Sacra by David Levi, which shows this word means any tree, even a single one, planted in honor of an idol or a god to worship. The word seven that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 5 is translated from the Hebrew word Shabbat. Number in Scripture by Ethelbert Bullinger, page 158, shows this word means spiritual perfection, the word of Yahweh. The word eight that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 5 is translated from the Hebrew word Shamanah. Number in Scripture by Ethelbert Bullinger, page 200, shows this word means regeneration or conversion. The word devastate that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word ro. This word is listed on page 1306 and 13 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius Furst, which shows this word means to teach or instruct, or instruct, not destruct, but instruct. The word sword that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 6 is translated from the Hebrew word harab. This word is listed on page 509 of PDF of volume 3 of the Lingua Sacra by David Levi, which shows this word means in the abundance of peace. The words execute, vengeance that are written in Micaiah 5:15 are translated from the Hebrew word nakam. This word is listed on page 933 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jaster, which shows this word means judgment. The word end that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 15 is translated from the Hebrew word or Hebrew preposition ba, written by the letter bet or b. This word is listed on page 56 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means because of. The word anger that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 15 is translated from the Hebrew word af. This word is listed on page 77 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word means grief or being defied. In other words, when you defy, go get defiantly against someone. The word fury that is written in Micaiah 5 verse 15 is translated from the Hebrew word hama. This word is listed on page 475 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jaster, which shows this word means justice. What Micaiah chapter 5 is actually saying are these things, and they connect with a lot of things Yahweh says in other scriptures. And we will show some of them as we go along with what Micaiah is actually saying in Micaiah chapter 5. So here we go. Verse 1. Now you will be cut off, yea, your home will be cut off, your house, for you have laid siege against us. With the rod you struck the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands who reverence Yahweh, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose coming is proclaimed from of old, from ancient times. Therefore they will endure, even to the time that the woman who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brothers will return to the house of Yahweh that will be rebuilt at Abel by Israel. And this ties in with Zechariah chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 on page 719, or Zechariah if you're using a Bible. Zechariah 5, 10 and 11, or Zechariah 5, 10 and 11, page 719. Now I'm reading from the 11th edition of the Book of Yahweh on this one. Later on, there can be some explanations of the definition in Zechariah. Then I said to the Malach who was speaking with me, where are they, the two witnesses, going with the ephah? And he said to me, to rebuild the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection set by Yahweh's commandments at Abel in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist. And it will be established at that time when the two witnesses are called to do out to their work as the established place, the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. Now where it said the woman's giving birth, Revelation 12 verses 1 through 5, page 978. Revelation 12 verses 1 through 5 on page 978. Revelation 12 verses 1 through 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried out, laboring in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon her heads. And her tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered in order to devour her son as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a man, a son, Yeshua Messiah, who with the branch were at Abel. Remember the branch. You heard about the branch this morning. And she brought forth a man, a son, Yeshua Messiah, who with the branch were at Abel. Remember I told you some time ago, Yeshua Messiah is coming here when he returns. They were at Abel to shepherd all nations, bringing in many who had converted. And her son was caught up unto Yahweh and to his throne. Now verse 4 in Micaiah, that we were showing those scriptures that relate to Micaiah chapter 5 verse 3. Verse 4. He will stand as shepherd in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his Father, and they will abide. Even now will he be great to the ends of the earth. And this one will bring peace when they who place sacred poles to worship their God, their El, come to our land, and when they tread down our palaces, then righteous shepherds and leaders of men, perfected and converted by the word of Yahweh, will be raised up. And that's you, brethren. And they will teach those who plant sacred poles to worship their God, who are the people of Nimrod, in the ways of peace. Thus he will deliver us from the sacred poles to worship their God when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. Now, one, the sacred poles. Turn to Exodus 34, verse 13, at page 74. Exodus 34, verse 13. Exodus 34, verse 13, where it's translated in most Bible, groves. But as we pointed out, the Hebrew word is asher, and it means someone who plants a tree, even a single one, in honor of their God. It's a law of Yahweh that the sacred poles be brought down. It's not just a prophecy, it's a law. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their sacred poles. Deuteronomy 7, verse 5, on page 153, it says the same thing. Deuteronomy 7, verse 5, on 153, page 153. This is how you shall deal with them. You must destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their sacred poles, and burn their gods, the Elohim, in the fire. In other words, when there's a religion putting up a sacred pole, it is your job to tell the truth and tear it and that pole down. Now let's talk about peace. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15 on page 891. We want to look at the last clause alone. 1 Corinthians 7, 15. Remember it said that this branch and those who are with him will teach the world the ways of peace, the peaceful solution. It is in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 7, 15. But Yahweh has called us to peace. He didn't call you here to play golf. He didn't call you here to eat a pork. He didn't call you here to get drunk. He didn't call you here to fight and argue and raise a stink. He called you to come and learn the ways of peace and teach it to others. Ephesians 6, verses 14 and 15 on page 920. Page 920, if you have a Bible, Ephesians 6, verse 14 and 15. Book of Yahweh, page 920. Stand therefore, having your waist belted, that means a belt on, with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of what? The message of peace. The peaceful solution. Verse 7 in Micaiah 1:5, anyway. I got that right yet. The remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples. Those, the two witnesses, starting with Jacob, that are doing the work of the peaceful solution, they will be in the midst of many people, like dew from Yahweh, like showers on the grass, which wait for no man, nor tarriest for the sons of men. The remnant of Jacob will be among the Gentiles, among the heathens, the unbelievers, the nations, the goyim, in the midst of many peoples, who like a lion among the beasts in the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he presses through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. This is from Psalm 7, verse 2 on page 436. Psalm 7, verse 2 on page 436. For like a lion tears us in pieces when there is no one to deliver us. Yes, they're going to turn on you like mad dogs. They're going to turn on you like a lion or a bear is taken from with the cubs taken away. But Psalm 91, read it, it's not long. It concludes by saying, it won't get near you. A hand, verse 9 on Micaiah 5. A hand will be lifted against your adversaries, and all your enemies will be cut off. And it will be in that day, says Yahweh, that their horses will be cut off from the midst of them, and their chariots will be destroyed. Or as it says in another scripture, they will beat their swords to plowshares. In other words, I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but I do know a little bit about tractors, and it seems a tank engine makes a fine tractor motor. It's talking about that type of thinking. The cities of their land will be cut up, and all their strongholds thrown down, including their places of worship and their sacred poles. Their witchcrafts will be cut up from their hand. You won't see anyone standing up here with his hands crossed saying he's turning a piece of bread into the body and blood of Jesus Christ anymore. Their carved image of all your gods. You go to the Vatican, and you see hundreds of statues of dead saints or dead something. Dead rabbis, could be dead caliphs, I don't know. They will be cut off from their midst with their sacred pillars of Baal, the Lord. They will no longer worship the work of their own hands. Their Asherim, the sacred pole symbolizing the goddess Asherah, better known as an obelisk, will be pulled up from the midst of you, and their cities will be destroyed. Because they have acted defiantly against me, my just judgment will be executed on the heathen that have not heard or obeyed. Micaiah chapter 5 shows it will be the witness Israel who will reveal these false religions like Christianity, which all are led by the most powerful warlord in the world, the Pope. He is a warlord. Read the history of Pope Julius II. He was too busy fighting wars to stay in the Vatican. He would get on his horse and lead the charge to capture those countries he went against for Christ, and he usually won. For what it is, he's going to show these religions and their followers for what they really are. God worship through the use of sacred poles and deadly force, plain and simple. A cross in one hand and a pistol or a sword in the other. But this is no prophetic inspiration on the part of Witness Israel. As Micaiah 5, verse 6, Exodus 34, 13, Deuteronomy 7, 5, and Ephesians 6, verses 14 and 15 show, this is a law of Yahweh the witness Israel has been teaching you, a law of Yahweh that must be kept by everyone. But there is more. The witness Israel and the house of Yahweh in these last days must do this to obey this law, that sacred poles must be eradicated. They must reveal the man who advocates rejecting the law of Yahweh for their sacred poles. Now turn to Isaiah 7, verses 17 through 20 on page 534. Page 534. Page 534. Page 534. Isaiah 7:17 in your Bible. Yahweh will bring upon you, upon your people, and upon your father's house such days as not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Yada, the king of Assyria. It will come to pass in that day that Yahweh will shrill or summon for the fly that is in the farthest part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. If this were true, then we would know where all those bees would run off to. The way the Bible's translating it is what I'm talking about. They will come, and all of them will rest in the desolate valley, in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns, and upon all bushes. In the same day, Yahweh will shave with a hired razor, with those from beyond the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, the head, the hair, and the feet, and it will continue, and it will also consume the beard. The word Yahweh that is written in Isaiah 7:17 is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. This word is listed on page 338 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jaster, which shows this word means simply to come to pass. The word Yada that is written in Isaiah 7:17 is translated from the Hebrew word Yada. This word is listed on page 266 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word means he shall cause to praise, confess Yahweh, one who confesses Yahweh. The word king that is written in Isaiah 7:17 and Isaiah 7:20 is translated from the Hebrew word melech. This word is listed on page 491 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to make king, to make someone a ruler. The word Assyria that is written in Isaiah 7:17 through 18 and Isaiah 7:20 is translated from the Hebrew word Ashur. This word is listed on pages 303 and 304 in PDF of volume 1 of the Lingua Sacra by David Leguay, which shows this word means any tree, even a single one, planted in honor of an idol or a god or worship. The word shrill that is written in Isaiah 7:18 is translated from the Hebrew word yasharak. This word is listed on page 741 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to hiss, to lure by hissing, derision, object of contempt. In other words, they boo you out of town. The word fly that is written in Isaiah 7:18 is translated from the Hebrew word zabub. This word is listed on page 231 of volume 2 in PDF of the Lingua Sacra by David Levi, which shows this word means a wicked and envious man, a jealous king. The word bee that is written in Isaiah 7:18 is translated from the Hebrew word dabura. This word is listed on page 144 of the Analytical and Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to speak, words. The word shave that is written in Isaiah 7:20 is translated from the Hebrew word yagala. This word is listed on page 136 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to reveal a secret, to disclose. The word hired that is written in Isaiah 7:20 is translated from the Hebrew word Hashakira. This word is listed on page 715 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means hire, wages, reward. The word razor that is written in Isaiah 7 verse 20 is translated from the Hebrew word abari. This word is listed on page 585 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to cause to transgress a law. The word head that is written in Isaiah 7:20 is translated from the Hebrew word rash. This word is listed on pages 671, 672 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means head, chief leader, chief of a family, chief priest, high priest. The word hair that is written in Isaiah 7:20 is translated from the Hebrew word shor. This word is listed on pages 732, 733 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to go about slandering, biting, to lead by the hand. The word beard that is written in Isaiah 7:20 is translated from the Hebrew word hazakan. This word is listed on page 241 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means elders, chiefs of tribes, families, or cities. So what Isaiah 7 verses 17 through 20 is saying is this, and there are some scriptures it ties into. It will come to pass that such days will be brought upon you, upon your people, and upon your father's house, to have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from reverencing Yahweh to make they who plant sacred poles to worship their God to be your rulers. It will come to pass in that day that a wicked ruler from the farthest part of Egypt will plant sacred poles in the land to worship his God, speaking words of deception, contempt, and derision against Yahweh. Now this is exactly as what is said in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4 on page 931. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 on page 931. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless there comes a falling away first, and that servant of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called gods or that is worshipped, so that he, as the Almighty, sits in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is the Mighty One, Elohim, or God. And that is one of the goals of the papacy, to get control of the Temple Mount. Verse 19 on Isaiah chapter 7. They will come and all of them will rest in the desolate valley and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day, Yahweh will reveal a secret concerning those from beyond the Euphrates River who have made their rulers those who plant sacred poles to worship their gods, which are demons. These have led many astray, deceiving them to transgress the law and deceiving inasmuch that it could deceive even the priests and the elders to sin. But these will receive their reward for their sin. Now this is from Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there will arise false messiahs and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But it says they will receive their reward for their sin. Turn to Romans 6:23 on page 878. Page 878. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin, their reward is death. The witness Israel was called out by Yahweh to testify against these sacred poles put up by Christianity and other religion, which is openly admitted to be led Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox by the most powerful warlord in the world, the Pope, who embraces this sin. Now, there's an excellent testimony about the witness Israel. It's in Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 8 on page 561. Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 8 on 561. Listen, O isles, countries, to me. Listen, you peoples from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. He has said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh and my work with my Father. Now, I want to tell you about something about that scripture. It said, I have labored in vain. Back in the 1970s, when the witness Israel was getting the house of Yahweh started in Abilene, the house of Yahweh appeared to be going nowhere. I remember because I was one of the few that was coming. Membership and attendance was light, and sometimes the only people attending Sabbath or the feast was the witness's own household, except for one or two of us that are still here. I remember one night after another Sabbath had just passed, and only a few came to Sabbath services that Sabbath, the witness Israel called a member of the that I know very well, who's in the house of Yahweh, and asked the man if he could tell him what he was doing wrong, because the house of Yahweh at the time was going nowhere. Attendance was sparse, and except for two or three, all who were attending services were Israel's own household. The man whom Israel asked that question answered Israel by saying he should not worry that he is starting out with only a few, because Yahshua Messiah only started out with 12. Israel paused and told the brother he was speaking to that the man is right, and he thanked him and Yahweh for showing this to him. It was that day when it ended that the house of Yahweh started growing prolifically, and it has steadily progressed ever since. But the prophet Isaiah foretold the witness Israel will be worried about the house of Yahweh even getting off the ground. And it did come to pass. This brother who told Israel these things is still here. He's very much alive, and he's very much a part of the work of Yahweh. But this is no new thing. Isaiah 49, verses 4 and 8 clearly states that the witness Israel would think all his work up to the time he would be called that brother had been for done for nothing, but Yahweh would assure him that the resurgence of the house of Yahweh was about to begin under his oversight and that Yahweh would be with him. Look at verse 5. Now Yahweh says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring the people of Jacob back to him? Because of the descendants of Israel are not yet gathered, I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh, and my father is my strength. And he said, it is not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the protected of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations, so you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, says to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise. Princes will also worship because of Yahweh, who is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. This is what Yahweh says. In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will protect you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Maybe Israel had a little doubt that one day, but he doesn't anymore. But don't be fooled. As I said, Satan and her followers know all this, and they tremble in both fear and rage. In fact, the forces of evil, because Yahweh chose to witness Israel to do his job the way he's doing it, they had to scramble and find another way than murder or false imprisonment like they tried to do to him, or a backup plan to silence him. Now, Jacob, or James 2, verse 19 on page 954 says, you believe there is one Father, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. Once Yahweh laid the law down to Satan and the forces of evil concerning the witness Israel, that they had to accept and realize that killing Israel when he was grown and teaching truth would not be an option, they derived an alternate two-pronged plan. First, somehow cause Israel's death when he was just a baby. Go after him when he's a little child, when he doesn't know any better. Second, if that trick failed, and it did, he's still alive, he's still going strong too. If that failed, do the next best thing. Make where Israel would go to preach to be so full of sin and hypocrisy that there would be little or no chance anyone would listen to what he had to say. Yahweh took care of the first of those two little tricks by Satan by having Israel born in a place called Oklahoma, which has always been seen as a joke. In this way, no one would believe some child born in Oklahoma would someday be a force to be reckoned with, and this resulted in no interest in killing him as a baby. People say, let's go kill that Bill Hawkins. What are you talking about? He's from Oklahoma. He's dead already. Or he smells like that anyway. Now, I'm not insulting him. I'm pointing out that's their attitude. I'm talking about these people. Then Yahweh took care of Satan's other little trick in this way. When Israel decided to move to Texas, Satan made that place the most Christianized and God-worshiping place anywhere in the world. Texas is now known as the stronghold or the buckle of the Bible Belt. There is a church with a steeple, a sacred pole, the modern sacred pole, just about on every street corner in many Texas towns and communities. The hypocrisy of this, many of us that used to be in amateur radio, especially Citizen Band or CB Radio, we remember. The various cities that many of the truck drivers go to or pass by have names. New York City was called Gotham or the Big Apple. Los Angeles was Shaky City. New Orleans was the Big Easy, may still be. You can ask the brothers and sisters from New Orleans, they can tell you. You had others. But guess what Abilene was called? It was called Hypocrite City. I remember one night, I was on my CB radio just listening in. The trucker got on here, breaker one night, and this is Big Ben, how you doing there, Long John? You got that, Long John, come on, hey, watch, you're 20. I'd be 50 miles from that Hypocrite City, come on, heading for El Paso. True story, I'm not making it up. And what was this area called? As I said, it was Hypocrite City. In addition to this, Texas is known historically as one of the most crime-ridden states in the United States. And it was not that long ago that this area where we all now are had the embarrassment of being the most crime-ridden area per each 1,000 in population in the nation. In fact, according to that, there's federal government agencies that came up with this study. They pointed out at that time the rate of crime right in this area was worse than New York, Chicago, and places like that are well known for having mafia and mob action. Even worse, Texas is remembered as a violent Wild West state, and for strong reason. Some of the most notorious criminals were born here, or they committed a lot of their crimes here. Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie was born in this area, in a little town called Rowena, just down near Coleman and Ballinger. Clyde was born over toward Houston. The famous gunslinger, John Wesley Hardin, was born here. And according to new research, the famous outlaw Billy the Kid moved here and finished out his life here. And worse still, Satan actually chose a place in Texas to erect the tallest sacred pole in the world. Not even the Vatican obelisk, you know, the little needle that's in St. Peter's Square. The Washington Monument, the big needle by the White House, or the Juche Tower of North Korea, which celebrates their famous dictators, matches the height of this tower Satan erected as a sacred pole in Texas. That sacred pole is known as the San Jacinto Monument and is located near the Texas city of Houston. The San Jacinto Monument measures 567 inches in height. No, not inches, and 31 one-hundredths feet in height. I'm sorry about that. 567 feet and 31 one-hundredths inches in height, or feet, well, 31 one-hundredths of a foot. The Washington Monument only measures 554 feet, 7 1/11/32 of an inch in height. The Vatican Obelisk in St. Peter's is only 83 feet tall. This monument is 480 feet taller than the Vatican's Pride and Joy. The Juche Tower in North Korea is 560 feet tall. I have a picture of that, Tony. Here it is. Could you give him the video? Everybody see it? That's the tallest sacred pole in the world, and it's in Texas. And an interesting thing about this monument. Pastor Israel Hawkins was born in the year 1934. It only took Satan 2 years to get this thing put up in opposition. That's your food for thought. Satan had hoped and wanted to believe that once Texas was buried under churches and their preachers and all those infamous outlaws like Clyde Barrow, Billy the Kid, and John Wesley Hardin, and that once Texas pride allowed her to put her tallest sacred pole in the world there, the witness Israel would not even bother to come to Texas to preach, thinking that going to Texas to preach Yahweh and his truth would be a failure and a waste of time on Israel's part. But Satan was wrong. Turn to Amos or Amasya. This is the last scripture on this page. Amos or Amasya, chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, 696. Can anyone stop something that Yahweh has planned to do? No. You're going to find that as very true. Amosia or Amos 3:6-7, page 696. Will a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Will iniquity fostered by religious impostors be taking place in a city? And Yahweh not also have a righteous work there? Most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets. It was in Yahweh's plan to have the house of Yahweh restored by a man named Israel in Texas. And guess what? You got that big sacred pole down there near Houston. But what really is going to make people joyful one of these days when they know that the only house of Yahweh in the world is right here in Abilene. For your notes, that's 1 Timothy 3:15 in the Bible, or 1 Timothy 3:15 in the book of Yahweh. Now, all this nonsense that Satan pulled has failed. It always has and it always will. She doesn't want to believe that, but it's true. Because you don't mess with Yahweh. The witness Israel, many of us in the house of Yahweh have been hit hard with evils only Yahweh could overcome. But we are living testimony that Yahweh is here. We are living testimony. I, Pastor Hawkins, many of you, many of us here are alive when we had diseases that should have killed anyone else. Many of us were in car crashes, had skulls fractured, everything else. But you're here. We know Yahweh is here. We see Him in action. We don't see Him because we're not like Him and we can't see Him yet. But we can see Him in action every day. And that's what it's all about. And that's what is important. I'm going to stop there because it is getting a little late. I went over a little bit because we had a delay that was unavoidable and no one's fault. So I hope you'll be patient with us. But at this time, I'm going to close there and turn the service over to the Kohan for other further announcements or to close the service.